Mr. Ian E. Singleton, you are also known as T-Dog. AMC The Walking Dead returns with Season 3 this Sunday. So give us a little taste of your character.
T-Dog is one of the survivors. Kind of everybody came together. He joined with them at the camp back in Atlanta at the quarry. And the journey he's taken with the survivors has been to the farm at Herschel's Farm in Season 2, where we survived this big herd at the end of Season 2. But even before that, T-Dog survived this nasty cut on his arm in the opening episode of Season 2. A lot of people thought that T-Dog was going to die, even myself, until I skipped to the back of the script. And then I relaxed after that when I found out that, you know, he made it through. And so we survived Herschel's Farm and that whole herd, but we lose a few of our survivors, and including Shane and Sophia. And so now we pick up maybe 7 months, 8 months down the line after, this major zombie, invasion at the farm. We pick up 7, 8 months later, and now we've become like the strike force, an elite strike force, and T-Dog is still hanging in there, surviving and thriving.
Right.
Just surviving. I would say thriving. Just surviving.
Right. And for these zombie lovers out here that want to know, you're the tough guy, I see, I've noticed. And, you know, you did survive, thank God, because you know how African-Americans normally don't survive. But it's like we're the first ones to go. But what comes right. out, like, what makes you play the character that you do play with the show?
You know, I guess the way I play it is, you know, T-Dog is more of the laid-back type. It's like T-Dog will be here. If you need me, I'll be over here in the cut, you know, if you need me. Otherwise, I'm not trying to get caught up in all this extra drama between the human beings, between Rick and Shane and all that stuff, because that stuff tends to get you killed. You know, I just want to be quiet and do my job in silence. So I think that's part of the reason why T-Dog has survived so long. Because, you know, like you said, a lot of people are like, I knew the brother was going to go early on. I knew it was going to happen. I knew. But it did, it didn't happen because I think T-Dog tends to keep his cool. He tends to just kind of, stay to himself unless he's needed by the group, you know?
Well, I've noticed that you went to University of Georgia. How did you get started acting?
Well, formerly, it was at the University of Georgia, and studied theater there for 4 years. You know, we can go back before that. And when I started dancing, I started dancing in the ninth grade, and I love the accolades I received. I love entertaining people, moving people with, you know, through dance, whatever. And I think that was just a natural progression moving into acting, because I was like, all right, I feel comfortable on the stage. Let's get in front of the camera. And so my goal, when I got to the 11th grade, 12th grade, I wrote a paper on the I Have a Dream speech, and I think they have it every year for Atlanta high school students. And they have an oratorical event to follow that. And my teacher chose me to speak at this oratorical event. And I did pretty well. And so I was like, wow, I think I'm pretty decent at this. Now, we can go back even further, start to when I was 11 years old. And, you know, my aunt put me into this bounty program where I was first exposed to Shakespeare. It was Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, and I was 11 years old from the project star, and I was going against all of these, kids from the 90210 district, so to speak, you know, in Atlanta. These kids were from affluent homes, backgrounds, and I held my own even better than some of them, and it gave me a lot of confidence. So I think that the journey, you know, it began way back then, but even, you want me to go back further? All right. Well, I would say it's good for praise at old school, because it's old school because it was about 20-plus years ago,
right.
30 years ago, almost 30 years ago when it happened, and then it's praise because this is the metaphysical experience that I had that told me that, okay, you're worth something, you're here for a reason, you have a purpose. I was about 9, 10 years old, and I was eating ice cream one day, and, you know, I dealt with physical and verbal abuse, you know, at the hands of my mother, and may she rest in peace. She died when I was 18 from HIV complications. But
right, I read that.
She put her knees on my arms. Yeah, she put her knees on my arms, and she held me down, and she smashed the cake and ice cream in my face. And I needed something, like, bigger than life then to get me through that. It was major humiliation from the person I love most in life, pretty much. And I went in the bathroom, and I was crying and wiping cake and ice cream off my face, and there's this overwhelming, this power just took over the bathroom, and it was an epiphany. And at that moment, I was like, I needed something special in my life. I needed something major, and God intervened, and God was like, look, You know, that humiliation is for a bigger cause. You know, it's preparing you for something else bigger in this life. And you have a purpose, and, you know, and that purpose is going to be on a grand scale, I think. And I think it started then. And then I revisited that later on, like almost 10 years later when my mom died. I had that another epiphany when God was like, you know, it's bigger than you. Mm-hmm. So I think it started when I was 8.
Right.
And you got these other pivotal moments throughout.
Right. Life-changing experiences is for all of us.
Yeah.
Right. And I wanted to also ask you, for people out there that are inspiring, you know, trying to inspire their dream to be an actor or actress, what is some advice that you would tell them? Because I know it doesn't just come overnight. I mean, what are some of the obstacles? How did you go forth with your casting calls and stuff like that for the people that are inspiring to be like you?
Well, I would have to, wow, that's deep. That's deep. You said the people that want to be like me. I'm like, wow. I, like, you know, little old me from the project. See, that says...
But that tells a lot, though. A lot of African-American or just kids out there in general are in the projects. And, you know, they look at you. So what would you tell them? Or what are some key things they need to know, you know, with getting with these casting directors and stuff like that?
I would just tell them to just never quit. But ultimately, it's about listening and obeying. And you listen to that voice. Whether it's inside of you or whether it is through a teacher, because God communicates through anybody and anything. So be prepared to always listen, and God will tell your spirit whether or not that is something that that is advice you should take. And you have to obey. When God gives you a message, God gives you a command, you have to do it. And if you don't follow through with that, then I think that you're kind of putting your blessings on hold. So if, say, for instance, if somebody's out there and you're in the projects and you're like, man, I'm, you know, you're tempted to, because you're hungry, you're tempted to steal something or something like that, and you're like, I gotta steal some bread because I gotta eat. But if that voice inside of you says, no, don't get that bread, you know, there's a better way to do it. And if you listen to that voice, God is gonna find a way to provide bread for you if you do the right thing. But if you steal that bread, then you're not listening to the voice of God, then you're listening to the devil. And nothing good can come from that. And the devil's laughing at you, but God is like, okay, I know you're being tested right now. Mm-hmm. Don't take it. Don't take it, because when you leave this store and, you know, you don't have that bread, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you 10 loaves of bread. And that's how God has been blessing me. But listen and obey and have truth and love in your heart. Have no bitterness. No, you have to forgive everybody. Let that stuff go, because that stuff drags you down. Just focus on what God is telling you to do, and everything else will just fall into place.
Wow, that is so very inspiring, because I actually needed that for myself. But I'm serious. I also noticed that, you know, you have a nonprofit performing art school, Iron E School of the Art. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we're hoping to have it in full swing at the beginning of 2013. Iron E School of the Arts, of course, is about not just teaching kids to act, but it's inspiring them to be better human beings. That's first and foremost. It's about getting them to embrace truth and who they are as God-ordained individuals. And once they do that, like the acting stuff, it goes right back to what I was saying about listening and obeying, truth and love. Once you embrace those qualities or those attributes, like you become a better actor, because you've embraced who you really are and who God wants you to be in this life. And it seems like the acting is just a piece of cake. But we're affiliated with a group called Young Voices United. And they are a theater group also, and we want to bring in those kids, and more so those less privileged or underprivileged kids, to teach them a better way, to serve as mentors, to guide them and keep them on the right track so that, you know, they can become productive citizens in society.
Mm-hmm. And Iron E, the Resurrected, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am. that's my one-man show, and that is the culmination, I would have to say, of my willingness to listen and obey, because I graduated from UGA in 1998. I sound like I ran with Jesus back in the day or something, but it seems like a long time ago. But God told me to tell my story. He said, tell your story so it can inspire other people, so it can help other people. And I ignored that. I ignored it for years, 8, 9, 10 years, Star. And then once I wrote it, Iron Eagle Resurrected. It's my life story, like I said, coming up through the projects, going to UGA, playing football, and becoming an actor and, you know, being cast on The Blind Side, which opened the door for everything else, all the other stuff. But once I did that, because God just kept putting it on my heart, like, just kept coming to me, like, tell your story for years, and I kept ignoring it. But once I wrote my story, not many people came out, Star, to the show, but the few people that did, I did it in a theater at the 14th Street Playhouse near downtown Atlanta, midtown Atlanta, and the people that came out, it was a 100-seater. We probably had on average 15, 20 people. But they were moved and touched, and they expressed it as such. And I felt like I was performing for a million people because I knew I was doing God's work. So I didn't care if that was just one person in the audience. I gave it my all, which is what my wife told me. She said, you didn't have many people out there, but I just appreciated the fact that you performed like you were performing for the world. And, you know, and I was like, well, that's God's stamp on that thing. God, you know, God co-signed that whole thing. And right after that, Star, weeks after that, I received an email from an agency in Atlanta, Howden Talent. Thank God for Howden. And they said they wanted to represent me. I tried to get an agent for years in Atlanta, and I was not successful. So once I did that show, God said, now the blessings are about to roll in. Watch this. And they called. I got representation with Howden Talent. Shortly after that, maybe a couple of months after that, I got my first major audition for a feature-length movie, and it was The Blind Side.
Right, I remember that. And also, you were in, was it Lottery Ticket?
Lottery Ticket, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember
With Bow Wow, Ice Cube.
Right. I remember that. So with that being said, is there one of your favorite casting directors out there or one of your favorite producers you like working with?
I love the Finn Cannon. You know, Mark Finn Cannon, Craig Finn Cannon, Tracy Finn Cannon. They cast me in my biggest production. My biggest project so far are The Blind Side and The Walking Dead. And they cast me, Lisa Finn Cannon, I hope I mentioned her, and they cast me in both of those. So, and there were times where once I did The Blind Side, they would just book me. They call it straight booking. So I didn't have to audition. They just say, all right, we want Irony for this, and come in and work this day. And I just go in and work after that. But before The Blind Side, it was like I couldn't even find an audition, Star.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the struggles of, you know, some of the people, because a lot of people are, you know, wanting to, you know, do this, but they got to understand it takes a struggle to get there first. Yeah, that's why I wanted, you know, for the kids out there, don't give up. But I want, you know, people to understand and listen to what you guys are saying about the situations y'all are in.
Yes, this is a situation right here. Like you said, you got to persevere. Stay, because think about this. Say if you put in 3 years in the business, and then just as like 3 years, 2 years and 364 days, a day before that third year comes, and the day before you decide to give up, but God's like, okay, I'm going to bless you on that third year. You got to hang in there. And then you quit the day before. But you don't know that next day was your day. And you gave up. So perseverance is key. And I always, every day, that's what I look forward to the next day. I said, the next day may be the day. I did it one day at a time. I didn't say, I had no idea that, oh, it's going to take 15 years for me to get my opportunity. I had no idea. Some people, they get theirs before, sooner than that. Some people later. And I just said, tomorrow is going to be the day. You have to have that mindset. You have to have that faith, that belief. Otherwise, you'd probably just give up and, you know, you don't want any regrets in this life. Hang in there. And don't do it for the money. You're hanging in there for the money, then you might as well just quit. You have to do what God has ordained you to do. You know, it's everybody has a purpose. So go after your purpose, you know, not the dollar bill. That'll come later on.
Right. You couldn't have said it any better. Right. And in your spare time, I understand you are a motivational speaker and music out there. Give us a little taste about that. What are some upcoming things for you?
Out the gate, Oscar nominate. I'm the great. That's me. Who said? God spake. The Blind Side. Who would have ever thought it? I'm out the projects, portraying my life story in America's number one movie, but I circumvented the penitentiary. So that's like, that's part of my lyricism, but whatever I write about, it's about my life story. I like to be real people. It's like, That's my blind side song too. So yeah, I'm a rapper and I do motivational speaking at high schools and, you know, churches, synagogues, or wherever I'm requested. So that's first and foremost. That's bigger than acting to me, because I feel like God gave me this platform to act so that I can serve as a voice to inspire others. So acting is secondary compared to the real mission, and that is to inspire people.
Right. And you seem to be an all well-round person, and I enjoy it. And I cannot wait to see you guys on Sunday. Again, once again, October 14th, correct? At what time?
October 14th, 9 p.m. AMC. It's the best show. This is the best episode ever. And, you know, some people said that it's better than your favorite drama combined star. And I think this first episode of season 3 is probably better than all of them combined.
I believe it, because you guys keep me laughing. Like, I wasn't interested in zombies and stuff like that, but I was like, I'm going to keep watching this, because actually I was watching to see if you were going to die. So, I hate to say that, but I'm serious. That's what keeps me interested.
No, you weren't. Check this out, Star. You weren't watching to see if I was going to die. You were watching to see when I was going to die. Like, oh, it's this episode. He's about to die right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Every episode, you like, yeah, right.
So I wasn't even gonna joke on that one, because you know how, like I said, in horror movies, it seems like y'all are the first ones to go. So
yeah, it happens like that. But you know, we're bucking the trend with The Walking Dead. We're constantly throwing you curveballs. You never know what you're gonna get. So that's another reason why people love the show so much, because you don't know what you're going to get. So it's like, man, I didn't see that coming. That's what makes it exciting for people.
Right. And for more information, where can all your fans go to? Twitter, Facebook, what we have out there? What do you have out there?
Oh, a few places, including those you just said, Twitter, Facebook, at Irony Singleton, or / however it's done, //. And my website, IronySingleton.com, www.IronySingleton.com. And I got a couple of songs on there. I have my Blind Side song on there. I have my Walking Dead song on there, really hot track. So you can go there, you can download those, and that's where you can pretty much find me.
You're welcome. Y'all have a good day.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.